You got the thumbs up, that'll tell me that you're, hang on. Hey, good evening, folks. Glad we can still reach out to you in your homes or wherever it is you're watching the live stream tonight. It's sad that we're having to do this, but hey, praise the Lord, we still have a way to reach you with a message tonight. Keep a bunch of our church members in prayer as several people have come down, have tested positive for COVID, and so keep them in prayer, and we'll continue to do what we need to do to keep folks safe, and we'll bring you the message right here from the auditorium via the internet. So praise the Lord for it. So keep our missionaries in prayer. You know, they're still dealing with different things. I know the Mahaneys, you know, they're not sick, but they're having to deal with the complications there of COVID in South Korea, and I'm sure many of our other missionaries are having to deal with different government regulations as well. So keep them in prayer as well for those things. And I'd even ask God, those folks in our church that are still healthy, that haven't tested positive, that God keep their hand of protection on them, and that they would still stay healthy as well. So tonight we're going to get into it. I don't think you folks want to hear me sing and wax eloquent, so we're just going to get into the preaching. So we're going to pray, and we'll get into it tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to still meet as a church, even though it may not be in person and being able to see one another, but we're able to get together on the internet and still gather and hear from your word. God, I just ask you to give me wisdom and clarity of mind as I preach tonight. Help me to be a blessing and a help to those out there that are in our church watching. Lord, we just ask you would keep your healing hand of protection on those that have tested positive for COVID. Help those that are fighting it, that their body would have the strength to get over it and to defeat it. And God, we ask those that have not tested positive, they're still healthy, that God, you'd keep them healthy and watch over them and keep your hand of protection on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'd like you to go to James chapter 1. And then go to Luke chapter 6. James chapter 1 and Luke chapter 6. I hope you have your Bible with you. If not, run over to the other room where it's sitting and then go grab it. Don't worry, you won't need your dictionary or your encyclopedia or nothing like that. We'll preach from the good old King James. In James chapter 1, look in verse 22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And that's going to go along with our main passage over here in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my saying, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Hey, if you've ever experienced foundation work done on your house, you know that it's not real enjoyable. It's a real problem. Many around here in this area, they have to experience foundation problems, and often it's not the concrete that your house is sitting on. That foundation aspect, the concrete part is fine. It's the groundwork underneath. Something has gone wrong with the ground underneath the concrete, and that's causing the problem. And that's a real frustration, and things start to get messed up in your house, and someone has to come in and shore it up and then put fill back in. You've got to take care of that problem. The other problem, too, could be that the concrete foundation itself is bad and the groundwork is fine. I was when I was looking to purchase a home in New York, I saw a couple of places, and I was taken to this one place, and they had kind of built it right on the side of a hill, and so they cut into the hill a little bit to make the quote unquote the basement, but you could add easy access to the basement right there from the driveway. But then, of course, up on the second floor, you walked outside the back door and you were right there almost at ground level. Well, they had done a block foundation, but they didn't make a proper block foundation. They forgot to put a rebar in between and then fill those blocks in. And so when I walked in, the wall was starting to come in. It was collapsing in on itself from the weight of the dirt just sitting there. The dirt was fine. It wasn't doing anything, but the weight was so heavy that wall was not solid enough to hold it back, and it was starting to come in. And I did not buy that house. I didn't feel like taking that problem and trying to correct it. But there was a serious problem, and that person that's trying to sell that place, they were going to have a hard time selling it unless they could get that foundation fixed. Nobody was going to want to get that. And so, man, when you have a house, you want to have a good foundation. You want underneath the concrete foundation to be good. You want the concrete foundation to be good, because if it's not, you have a lot of problems. Well, you know, it's the same way in our own life, and Jesus explains it to us here that, man, you need to have a good foundation, and then your foundation needs to be built on the right ground, need to be built on a rock. We're going to look at three different people here and their foundations, how they have approached life. The first man here is the person who has no good ground and no good foundation. I look at this person as the lost man. Look, they did not build upon Jesus Christ. They've totally rejected him. They may have even heard the gospel. How many times have you witnessed to somebody, tried to give them the gospel, and they want nothing to do with it? They've heard what they should do, but they choose not to do it. You know, it goes, hey, whoever hears my word, my sayings, they chose not to listen to them. They want nothing to do with Christ. They don't want to hear it. So therefore, man, they have no good foundation, because they're not able to build upon it, and then their house is not resting, their life is not resting on top of Christ, and it's going to come to destruction. And what's sad about the lost man is his destruction is going to be right now during this time here on earth, but then it's also going to be into eternity. Because if he doesn't get that taken care of, if he doesn't get his sin debt taken care of between him and God, he's going to spend an eternity in hell. Look, if you're listening tonight, or maybe, hey, some other later on down in the future, you're watching this and you're saying, well, I'm not saved. Well, you know what? That's the most important decision you're going to ever make. If you don't get saved, you're going to spend an eternity in hell, and you'll never get out. You know, Christ, he died on the cross. You don't have to go there, and now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the time to get saved. Simply put, man, just put your faith and trust in him and accept him as your personal savior. You trust what he did on the cross as payment for your sin. You know, we can't take care of our sin debt. There is no work we can do to cover our sin debt. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross. Many a man thinks he can work to get there. He thinks he can get salvation on his own. You know, that what's sad about this lost man is sometimes the lost man says, you know what, I'm not going to do it the way Jesus says. I hear what you're saying, but in fact, I'm going to do it my own way. They think that they know a better way to get to heaven. Well, I'm going to do some good works, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to church. You know, those things are good, but it ain't going to get you to heaven. It's just not going to get you there. And so, man, if you're that lost man, if you have no good ground and no good foundation, your life is going to be destroyed. It's going to be ruined. That house is going to come collapsing down someday. And you know what? There's nothing you'll be able to do about it. And eventually, it'll be ruined all into eternity. Don't let that be said of you. You say, well, how about the second man? Well, the second man, I think, they got the good ground, but then they didn't get the good foundation. I think of this as a carnal Christian. They got saved, but that was it. They were able to hear, they heard the gospel, and went, I'm going to do that. But then that's about as far as they've gone. You know, normally when I witness to somebody, I show them a good number of verses, but man, there's so much more in this Bible than just the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's the gospel of Jesus Christ is quite a bit in here, and man, it's a wonderful story to read, and it's good to have those verses, but the Bible is so much more, should be so much more to a Christian than just the gospel. It's our guidebook for life. And God says, here, I've got this for you. I've given you my word. And you know what? The carnal Christian says, well, thank you. I'm glad I'm saved. But Jesus, I don't want to listen to anything else. I don't want you to tell me how to run my life. I don't want to hear what you have to say about this, that, or the. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to consume what I want to consume. Don't tell me what to do. That's a carnal Christian. Oh, man. He's got Jesus. But, man, look. You look at what that man does. He hears it. He hears what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't do anything with it. How often do people come to church and they sit in the pews and they hear the pastor preach and they know what they hear what they're supposed to do. They know what they're supposed to do. And they go, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let that bother me. And they leave those doors the same way that they came in. And then when their house comes collapsing down, because look at what this man did. He had no foundation. It's like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the earth. Who builds a house with no foundation? No proper contractor would ever consider building any kind of a structure without a foundation. And yet that's what this Christian did. No foundation. And his life is going to get ruined. It's going to be destroyed. Given time, it will be destroyed. Because, man, God has a plan for him. God wants him to do some things. But if he's not going to listen, he's going to come to destruction. And you know why? Look, the storms of life are going to come. And if you're not set up with a good foundation, you're just going to get blown right over. Every little wind, whatever little problem starts coming, you're going to, I don't know what to do. I guarantee you, I'm sure there are some Christians out there right now that are scared to death, don't know what to do because, oh my goodness, we don't know what the results are yet of the election. Well, you know, is God still on the throne? Is he still in charge? Does he still rule and reign? You know, yeah, you want to see the guy that you voted for get in, but you know what? Whether your guy gets in or not, God still knows where you live. God's still sitting on the throne. He still has a plan. We just need to keep listening to what he wants us to do and doing it. But the person that has no foundation, they just worry about everything. And, oh, man, what about this and what about that? And what about, you know, well, what about God? How about you do what he tells you to do? Do what you've heard him tell you to do and let him worry about those things that are out of your control. Because there's a lot of storms of life that they're not in our control. There's nothing we can do about it, so why don't you give it to God? The third person I see here is the guy who's got good ground and a good foundation. Look there in verse 48. It says, he's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And I saw that rock right there, man. Immediately I thought of our rock, Jesus Christ. Man, our hope is built upon him. You know, when you get saved, you're putting your faith and trust in him. Oh, man, then you just build your foundation now on that rock. And it's going to be secure. It's going to be good. Here's some things I can see about that man that is built on that rock and has that good foundation. One thing is they know what they believe. He knows what he believes. Why? Because he heard it and he did it. He's in the church, he's in his Bible, he's hearing what God wants him to do, and you know what? He's doing it. And so he knows what he believes, he's got a good foundation, and he's not easily swayed because, man, he's in that Bible. He's either sitting in the pew getting it preached at him and knows, man, that's what I'm hearing it from the pastor, I'm hearing the truth, and then he's going home and he's getting in it by himself going, all right, I'm going to study it. And he's finding out, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And when God speaks to him, he says, okay, I'll do it, Lord. He's not letting the world tell him what to do. He's not easily swayed. He knows what he's supposed to do because, hey, I went and asked God. I found out God told me this is what I want done. And I do it. I hear his words and I do it. I'm a doer of his words, not just a hearer. You know what's sad is you see it a lot with teenagers. Teenagers, they come up through the church, they're little kids, and they grow and grow, and they get to be teenagers, and they're getting close to graduation, getting close to being young adults, and you wonder sometimes, and you hope, and you pray, and you, man, I hope this guy makes it. I hope this girl makes it. And then they graduate, and then all of a sudden, they're not in church very much anymore. You know what that tells me? They didn't have any kind of foundation. Why would you not continue to be in church? Because you don't have any kind of foundation. You didn't build, you got saved, but you didn't build a good foundation in your life. And when you got ready to be able to, hey, I can now make my own decisions, you did the wrong thing. And you know what? That means you've not been listening and doing what God wants you to do during your teenage years. God was trying to work on you. God was knocking at your heart, trying to speak to you, telling you, hey, you need to do this. You need to make this change. You need to make that change. And you know, well, I'll try and look good in church, and I'll dress right, and I'll act right, because I know, hey, I've been doing it for years. I know how to do it. And then when the tough times come that, hey, now you can make your own decisions, all of a sudden, gone. You're not in church at all. Not in this church. You're not in another church. Not even doing what God wants you to do. That's sad. Teenager. Man, you need to know what do I believe? And am I doing what God wants me to do? You know, if you're doing what God wants you to do in the simple things, then it'll just build. And the little bit more complicated, a little bit more difficult things, you'll be able to figure out, all right, this is what God wants me to do. And you'll hear it and you'll do it. You know, this man, he's not affected by the whims of the world. Think about it, fashion. Fashion industry, man, it changes like that. I mean, you'll have 1 month, man, this is the latest fashion. You got to wear this piece of article of clothing. And 2 months later, all of a sudden, it's, what happened to that? Wasn't that the latest thing to wear? No, not anymore. That's garbage. Well, what's this over here? Fashion changes all the time. It's ridiculous. But you know what? The person that has a solid foundation and they're built on that rock, they don't worry about fashion. Because they know, look, I know how God wants me to dress. And I'm going to dress appropriately. I know what the Bible has to say about modesty. I know what the Bible has to say about coverings. And so I'm going to make sure that I'm covered properly. And I'm not going to worry about what the world has to say. I don't care what the world, if the world thinks this is good or not. They wear what's appropriate. Look, if you got a solid foundation, folks, you're not going to feel like you have to fit in with a particular group or you have to wear a particular article of clothing so people don't make fun of you. And, oh, man, I don't want to go out in public wearing this. And what does God have to say about clothes? I don't know. Well, then find out. You know, that's something that bothers me, all right? A lot of people A lot of ladies, all right, they'll be wearing dresses and then they'll start wearing pants. And it'll be, don't judge me for wearing my pants. But what I want to know is how much Bible reading and prayer did you spend before you decided to make that decision? Now, maybe you have, I don't know, but I've never had someone tell me, look, I prayed about it and I asked God if it was okay. And I seriously put some prayer into it. I've never heard anybody do that. Just saying. Do we ask God, Lord, is this appropriate? Should I be wearing this? Hey, fellas, same thing. You know, when I see guys taking their shirt off, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? We're in public. There's ladies around. You shouldn't be doing that. You got your short shorts on. You say, but that's what the world says is acceptable. Yeah, but does God? Have you gone and asked him, hey, is this acceptable? Or do you choose, well, I don't even want to ask because I don't want the answer. See, sometimes that's the case. We Christians, I'm not going to go ask God because I don't want to know what God's answer is. Well, then you're not going to have a good foundation. Go ask God. Find out, God, what is it that I should do? So that way you can be a doer of his word and not just a hearer only and have a good foundation. How about politics? Man, we care about who runs a country, right? But you know what? You're not going to be easily swayed all over the place because you know who is ultimately in control. God is control over everything. He controls the heart of the king. And you know what? He controls the heart of the president too. And if he wants to have that president change something, he could. He controls our rulers. How about social issues? Oh, man. Our country's in turmoil over social issues right now. Well, you know, in Matthew 7, I think if people would just live Matthew 7:12, we wouldn't have such a problem. Matthew 7:12 says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." See, a person that's built on a solid foundation, they're living that verse. They're making sure, hey, I'm going to treat others as I want to be treated. And if the people in our country would just live like that, treat others how they would want to be treated, man, we'd see a whole different country. But no, it's all about me. And we're raising people that it's all about me, and how dare you tell me I can't have that, or how dare you tell me I can't do that. It's all about me. But the person who's built on a solid foundation, the social issues, they don't affect him, because he's going to treat everyone equally. He's going to treat them as God has told him to treat them, as he wants to be treated. You know, if you care about people, if you're going to really, truly care about people like God wants them, man, you're going to want to see them get the gospel. So you're going to care about them enough to, hey, I'm going to show them kindness so I can give them the gospel. How about influencers? Now, listen, you older folks, this ain't really for you here. Influencer, you're probably going, influencers? What are you talking about? They're these people that get on the social media sites and they sit there and they influence younger generations. You know, young people, if you're built on a good foundation, you don't worry about what influencers have to say or what they think or what they do. The only influencer you should care about is, what does Jesus have to say? What does Jesus want me to do? He's the only influencer we really should care about. Look, hey, care about what your parents had to say. Hey, you got to love and honor and respect them. Okay? You got to obey them. But man, you should be caring, hey, what does Jesus care? You know what? If you care about Jesus being the great influencer in your life, then you will care about, hey, I want to honor my parents. I want to obey my parents. You know what? We as individuals, as us adults, we're going to care about, hey, I want to make sure I treat my coworkers with respect. I want to make sure I treat others with respect. I want to make sure I work well at the job because I care about influence Jesus has on me. I want to make sure he's pleased. What else? Well, you know, they know how to mark and point out those which cause division. Go to Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 17 and 18. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." You know, if you've got a solid foundation, you should point out those that are preaching contrary to what the Bible says. Those that cause division. You know, you can't do that unless you do have a solid foundation. Unless you know, hey, I know what this word says. I know what it has to say. I know what Jesus believes in, and I'm in it, and I know what it is. You can't point it out unless you know it. So you've got to have a good, solid foundation built on that rock in order to be able to point out people and say, hey, look, you're causing division. Stop it. Or telling the simple ones, hey, be careful of them. They cause division. There's false doctrine going on. Hey, look, you can go online. You can find anything. Okay? There's a lot of people out there. They're spewing false doctrine, and they're attacking Christians, and then they're going about and saying, well, you're not saved. I've even had it happen to me where somebody said, well, because you don't believe what I believe, and you're not saved, and you're going to go to hell. Whoa, wait a minute. And I look at what they're saying. I'm going, well, I don't believe you're rightly dividing the word. And you try to explain it, but there's no reasoning with them. Because they didn't build a good, solid foundation, and they just took what man had to say, and they're listening to this divisive person, and oh, man, don't be like that. You know, you can't warn against those people unless you know what you believe, unless you know, hey, this is what the Lord has said, and I'm doing it. All right? What else? Well, they're not easily swayed by those divisive people. Look in Ephesians 4. This other set of verses kind of goes along with it here. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know what? A mature Christian that's built on a solid foundation, they're going to be getting in their Bible and they're going to know what it has to say. They're going to know what applies to me. God, what do you want me to know? They're going to know it. Now look, don't get me wrong. Coming to church is good. Getting on the live stream and watching it, it's good. But if that's the only instruction you're getting, that's not enough. You need to be able to get in that Bible and figure it out for yourself. Look, an immature Christian, they're going to go to the pastor all the time and say, hey, I what do you think about this? And look, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with going to the pastor and getting some counsel, getting advice, asking his opinion on something. That's good to do. But, man, how much time have you put in? Don't be that Christian that goes to the pastor and wants him to do all the work, and you're not willing to get in and study something yourself in your Bible to find out, hey, God, what do you have to say about this? If you're just saying, hey, what does thus saith the pastor have to say? That signs an immature Christian. You know, over in Hebrews, it talks about milk and meat. A babe desires milk, and man, a mature Christian, they want the meat of the word. Well, you know what? It was something I've noticed. A babe, they need help getting that milk in there. Maybe they normally can't do it by themselves. They got to be taught how to do it, and they need help, especially at the very beginning. But you know what? I've never needed help someone getting meat into my mouth and figuring that out. I was able to do it myself. You know, mature Christian, they're able to feed themselves. But a babe, they're still working on their foundation. Where are you at in your life, in your Christian life? How is your foundation? I hope it's built on Jesus Christ, number one. Because if it ain't, man, you got to get that settled tonight. Get that taken care of. Come to him and confess your sin before him and put your faith and trust what he did on the cross to take you to heaven, man. Because otherwise you're going to be destined for hell. I hate to see anybody go there. But Christian, how's your foundation? Is it real secure? Or are you just, hey, I'm saved and that's it? Well, that's not a very good foundation. You need more than that. Hey, when God speaks to you during the preaching, or God speaks to you when you're reading your Bible, I hope you're doing that. When God speaks to you, do you move? Or do you turn him off and ignore him? You say, God, no, I'm not going to do that. Or when God speaks to you, do you say, all right, Lord, I'm going to make that change? Look, none of us are perfect. So therefore, we should constantly be changing for the better. Changing to please him. And as he works in our life, hey, everyone's at a different stage. All right, we're not all, God doesn't treat us all the same. Praise the Lord, he doesn't. He treats us all as individuals. Well, man, as you go through stages of life, God's going to expect something of you. He's going to say, hey, I need you to do this. And you hear it, but do you do it? Those that do it, they've got a solid foundation. And man, when the storms of life, when the whims of the world come and they start battering down on you, you can withstand it. You can stand up against it because you've got a good foundation. You've prepared. And you continue to do, hey, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You know what? One of the things I notice, he wants you to start in the simple things. If you've not even started, if you go, man, I don't even know where to start. Well, start in the simple areas. The little things that you know that, hey, I know God wants me to do these things. Well, then do them. And keep doing them. And keep doing them. And then as he speaks to you again and says, hey, I want you to do this, do it. And that just makes your foundation more and more solid. So that when these storms come, because they're going to come. Look, life has got difficulties. It can be hard. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean God did not promise. Jesus, when he was on this earth, did not say, hey, now that you follow me, it's going to be easy. No, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's still out there. He's still going to attack. So we need to have a solid foundation so that we can stand up against him, stand up against the world, and keep living for God so that we don't just get blown over by the little things of life, by the storms that come. Have a good foundation. Is it secure? Let's bow our heads and we'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the examples of Scripture. God, help us at First Baptist to be doers of the word. Help us not to just be hearers, but God, when you speak to our heart, help us to do something with it. Because Lord, if we as individuals all have a good foundation in our own life, then First Baptist Church of Haltom City as a church is going to have a good foundation. And this church is going to be strong because the people in the church are strong. Lord, help us to be that church. Help us as individuals to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do and that we're doing what you have us to do so we as a church continue to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, folks, we're going to close here tonight, and we'll be back Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Plan to tune in for the live stream. We're going to continue to live stream all into Sunday. And we'll give you further instructions then as to what we may do. Stay healthy. Keep folks in prayer. Those that are not, you know, that you know of that have COVID, keeping them in prayer. There's several that have gotten sick. And hey, keep those that are healthy in prayer as well, so that they don't come down with this sickness. Have a good evening. Take care.